Already now we are on the second step of our Lenten journey, the second Sunday in Lent. The days go by faster, even getting a little longer, if a little colder. But soon it will be warm again. And we are here an hour earlier than usual, and maybe a little foggier than usual, but we are here nonetheless. And being here, we hear today proclaimed in our midst this portion of the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is being warned by none other than the Pharisees themselves that he is in danger. All he's been doing is curing people, casting out demons, telling people of the goodness and the graciousness of God. Why in the world would someone like Herod want to kill him? Now, this isn't the Herod that tried to kill him once before. This is his son. This one doesn't have the vested interest that his dad had when he wanted to kill Jesus as a child, because it was rumored that there was this new king of the Jews. Well, the kingdom of Herod the Great had now been divided up. There were four different parts of it, and this Herod we hear about today was the one who was the king up in Galilee. So Jesus isn't even near Jerusalem yet. He's still up in Galilee. But you see, this is the Herod. This is the Herod that did away with John the Baptizer. Why? Jesus is doing nothing wrong. All he's doing is healing, casting out demons, making people whole again, doing certainly good works that we would all want done for us. There is a very strange thing about this world, you know, that even though there are good people who do good things, the world wants to do away with them. Why is that? Maybe it's because goodness, when it is so clear, scares us. It scares us when we look at ourselves, and perhaps we see that we may not be as good as that goodness represents. And for those in power, particularly, the goodness worked by another like Jesus can be deeply convicting. It can get down into your mind, into your heart, right down into your belly, and make you feel bad about what's going on around you. And so the easiest thing in the ways of the world is to get rid of the thing that makes you uncomfortable, rather than taking on the hard task of changing and transforming. We would rather simply do away with that which is making us a little uneasy, especially if it means that maybe we are in the business of abusing our power, whether that power be of a great king over a country, or perhaps power of a leader over a smaller community, or even the that we have in our own families. That when we are called upon genuinely to exercise grace, to exercise mercy, to be good as Jesus was good, then it's easier to get rid of that which confronts us with our faith. Maybe. Maybe that's what's going on with Herod. You see, Jesus realizes what's happening. He knows all too well the ways of the world. Jesus is not naive, so he's already seeing, as it were, in the prophecy of Daniel, the handwriting on the wall, seeing that the things that he's doing is making a lot of people uncomfortable. He is calling people to task because they are not living out of the truth of God. And maybe that's what we need to hear about today. Because if there is anything that is in short supply in our day and age, as we look around ourselves today, it is truth. Now, by truth, I don't necessarily mean only facts. But you see, when we're constantly calling facts into question, and we're saying that there are alternate ways of believing simply because we want to accept what's there, then we are not living in truth. When we want to interpret facts in such a way as to make ourselves feel comfortable and make ourselves look good, rather than measuring ourselves against the ultimate standard of good, which is the way of God, well, then we're not living in the truth. And we are a little different than Herod. That's a hard thing for us to hear. Because, you see, we can get very confused. Very confused when suddenly there are many different ways of looking at things. Actually, our church is one of those places where it is perfectly okay to disagree. But the difference is this, that even though we may disagree about this, that, or the other thing, we are still called to be a people of love and to exercise dignity and respect for every person we encounter. We are called to eat at this same table, even though we may argue about what is right or wrong on any given topic. That ultimately, it all has got to come down to that ultimate judgment as to whether it is true within the love of God, which is the way of Jesus. How often, when we are engaged in one of those arguments, do we ask that question? Is this the way of God? How does this strengthen the way of love? And by love, I don't mean that sort of sentimental kind of love that we get out of a Hallmark greeting card, you know, the Hallmark Channel. We all love watching the movies. They make us feel good. That's what they're really designed to do. But you see, it always, because everything always comes right. Everybody always loves each other, always kind to one another, all those wonderful things. But that's not the love that God is talking about at all. A hard kind of love that is absolutely essential for us to live in the truth. The kind of love that says, once I understand what is true, and I, with prayer and meditation and reflection, come to a deep conviction that this is true, I will stand. Even when the world will hate me for it. Even when it is not the way my neighbors think, I will stand in my truth. Not in my unique truth, but in the truth that is none other than the way of Jesus. And that way requires hard thinking. As I said, it is not sentimental. It is the kind of love that requires us to decide, to take sides sometimes, to decide that I will serve God and God alone, that I will serve God by learning how to love one another. even when it hurts. That's what Jesus came to show us. That regardless of the cost, the most important thing we can learn is to love. Not to be kind, not to be nice, but do the hard work of loving. When it demands that we give up something of ourselves, when we give in, and I don't mean compromise, but rather than when we let ourselves go, our egos go, only to see the very person of Jesus in our own face. Jesus sets that example. Even the Pharisees, the ones whom he criticized the most, they're the ones telling him, run away because Herod is after you. They see the good that Jesus does. And they want to protect it. But Jesus says, no. I will continue to do this good. I will continue to heal and cast out demons. I will continue to bring people wholeness and salvation, even if it costs me my life. It is the way of the world. It is the way of God's people. I love this passage in a sort of sad way. When I hear the voice of Jesus plaintively saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to bring you under my wings. Jesus is still saying that today. Maybe not to the ancient city of Jerusalem, but to you. Still say no? Why do you still put yourself before others? Why do you still decide you know best and not God? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you under the protection of my wings, and you yet refuse. And then when destruction comes upon you, you curse me. God is calling you to let yourself be covered by his grace. God is calling you to be covered by his mercy. God is calling you to be enveloped, to be swept up into his life by his love. A love which is undying, total, and true. Do not reject it. Do not walk away from it. See it for what it is. Allow it to wash over you. Allow that mother hen to put their wings over the top of you so that you will be protected. Maybe not from the forces of this world, but in your heart of hearts, in the center of your being, you know who you are, and it is there that you see God. As we continue this Lenten journey of ours, do so with purpose. Think about how God loves you and seeks to gather you in, regardless of our differences, that we go to this table and we share the same food. We share that food because it is but one, and it is true. It is the Lord Jesus. Allow that food to feed your heart. Allow the healing power of Christ to change and transform you that together we might live in truth, that we might live in love, that we might live in Jesus.